Okay. Do you start now or do I?
Well, it depends. What show are we on?
I'm just checking.
I think you start on this one.
I'm just checking. I want to make sure I don't step on any toes. This is the Frank and Friends Show. Hi there. I'm Frank Murphy.
I'm Catherine Frady.
Hey, boss.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Fine. Doing well.
Yes, ma'am. I am Captain.
So we're going to get into, on this episode, how come Catherine is my boss. And I will put you at ease right away for the person who wrote and thought that you had, Catherine had purchased the Frank and Friends Show for her media empire. That is not what happened. There's other news that we'll get to. We want you to, of course, like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got so close to 1,000, and then we lost a few again. It happens all the time. I don't know. I can't worry about it. It's out of my control. It's entirely in your hands.
You know?
There is nothing I can do.
That 1,000th, how do you say that? 1,000th person doesn't want that aria, you know?
Yes, that's right. Catherine will sing you to sleep or to whatever. I mean, you know, maybe if you need it, got a wedding coming up, I'll make her sing it then.
See? There you
Funeral,
go.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We got the merch. Of course, you know, the merch. You haven't seen the new, what is it called? The bunny hug sweatshirt that I got.
Oh, nice.
It's the I wanted to get one that was a pullover. It's really comfortable and cozy.
It is very comfortable and soft.
Yeah.
This is just such high quality.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to love it.
You should use that for this company for your merch.
You know,
merch.
We might.
For your Catherine Frady merch.
Yeah.
for your Marvel.
Can you imagine? Oh, I do need Catherine Frady Soprano merch. That'd be hilarious.
And then, I mean, you get it. We got the towel. You know what it looks like. It looks like that.
That's fabulous. And you can find it at Frank and Friends. show.com/store.
And we have pint glasses. Now, mm-hmm. I've been teasing everyone on the show that I wasn't going to drink out of these, but Mitch Moore asked if we could have water. So we had water out of these in the last episodes, but I've washed them. And I said, oh, no, when Frady finally gets back to town, we'll probably do some day drinking. But now that I work for you, I can't even be the one to suggest it, can I?
Sure, why not?
All right. Yeah. So do you want to do day drinking or
I do.
No?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Ladies
<Let's>
first.
Here we go. There wasn't any alcohol at the event I went to earlier today, so.
What?
I know.
I thought that whole thing was a drinking festival.
It should have been.
It was a ladies' luncheon.
Ladies' luncheon
with Coca Vin.
Yes, but no alcohol.
Oh, that means wine. That means chicken and wine.
Well, there was no wine. There was only tea.
Oh, you got ripped off.
I did.
Should have been Long Island iced tea. And also, I've got water in the mug.
Right.
Mmm.
So we're all set.
I've been watching
some. Look how good that looks.
It's beautiful.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers. I did watch an old Jackie Gleason thing on YouTube the other day, so I had him on the mind. Mmm. Let me see if I can do it.
Oh.
Mmm. That's good booze. That's something he used to say on TV.
Okay. Yeah.
Before you were born. So. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I
won't worry about it.
It's past. A couple of things of old business. My streak of being in VAP Knoxville is now at 2.
Nice.
They had an operatic event called, what was it called?
Can you say it?
French Opera Jewels.
Nice.
And it was at, the cathedral, at the Most Sacred Heart. Yeah. And I was there. Now, they got all these nice people in tuxedos. Because they were performing, and I happened to be coming back from the bathroom, and Megan from VIP Knoxville says to me, "Hey, Frank, what can I take your picture?" And then she grabs the two closest people. I mean, my wife is in the audience, so I'm in the narthex. She grabs Judy and Melissa, who were ushers at the event, and I got my picture made with them.
That
was
awesome.
Nice. You know,
yeah.
She wanted a different background, so.
Nice.
And then I'm hopeful. Actually, I already had my picture made this past weekend. For the Interfaith Health Center Gala.
Okay.
It's called Casino Royale. So I had a tuxedo.
Do you think, is your goal in the next VIP edition to be on every page every event?
I think I might get in, it's possible that I might get in twice for the next issue because they took my picture for this one on Saturday the 13th, and they'll probably take my picture again if I can push myself in front of the camera fast enough, on Friday the 19th,
nice.
Which is probably the day this is coming out.
Perfect.
For the Friends of Literacy East Tennessee Writers Hall of Fame Awards Gala that I'll MC.
Nice. Well, I may be in there too because I just got my picture taken.
At Ossoli Circle?
That's right.
With no booze?
No booze.
Well, I hope you're in there.
Yeah.
And then while I'm running through all of the things, speaking of, we did the Cathedral Concert, this is what this was back in March, I guess. Then in April, we went to another cathedral concert, and you were there.
I was.
And this was the program from it. It was the dedication of the new organ at Sacred Heart.
It was a great concert.
It was a great concert, but there was drama.
On and off the stage.
Because, how would you describe it?
Well, I mean, first of all, the organ is fabulous. I mean, the pipes, they sound great.
They installed the rest of the pipes. When they first opened the cathedral, they put in a little more than one-third of the pipes, and they had to put in the rest of them because somebody gave them enough money to do it.
And the organist is fabulous. I mean, and it was great. They had video cameras on his feet and his hands.
Yeah.
So you could also see close-ups of his performance, which was really fun. And, you know, we played a Copland piece and a Bach piece, which those first two, I have to say, that got me hooked.
And then he played one of those modern, like, atonal ones.
And then I was hooked again. I love that piece.
You saw me. Did
you
see
were squirming,
me squirming?
But the rest of us on the aisle were like, oh, what is happening now?
Well, it was it was interesting because I think he found a piece that used literally every key and every stop on the mm-hmm. organ because his hands are going so fast. And that's what he was showing off, is how the machine works.
Yeah.
So then he gets into the finale, which is Pictures at an Exhibition by Musorgsky. Is it?
Yes.
Put an extra? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's when things went awry.
Yes. He was playing, and I guess basically, you know, you have all these stops that you have to pull out.
It looks like he could work them with his feet, too, because sometimes he wasn't touching them, and they were coming in and out, but he's doing something with his feet.
And the sound started to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept trying to keep going. And then at one point, he's just like, I give up. And he gets up and leaves.
Yes.
And we're all just sitting there very politely
He signaled to Deacon Walt, who was playing timpani, you know, on five, and he walked away. So then it's the dedication of this new organ made by this fancy organ company that's, you know, it's a 100, 200-year-old organ company from Montreal. So the guy, the head of the organ company, is there for this concert.
From Montreal.
So he has to go up to the organ, up to the loft, and get in there, into the pipes, literally into the pipes, and disconnect the one that isn't working. Which, I mean, there's thousands now of pipes, so we didn't miss the one that wasn't working, but he had to cut it off.
Yeah. But, I mean, this was also, there were people from England there. They were streaming it online in London, right?
Yeah, so it was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
During the pause while they were getting this fixed, I pulled up the live stream and zoomed in so I could show Catherine the back of my head.
I was not in the picture.
If I had just
been like, hello.
So that's some local Knoxville business. But also, since last time I've seen you, I went to the eclipse.
You did.
I had eclipse fever.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you about that. Also, I just caught a side eye of my week. This is my floral arrangement. I tried so hard to make a dogwood flower arrangement for you.
Oh, thank you. It's you know.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's adequate.
Nah, I put them in the jar and they all bent the wrong way. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to bend.
They need a little sun, right, to be happy?
I just cut them an hour ago.
Oh.
I mean, I
you sent them to their death.
I did. I tried. But we went to the eclipse. And now the episode I posted last week was recorded before we went to the eclipse, because how could I record while I'm at the eclipse? We were busy looking at the sun. And it was just fantastic, because we met up with Frank Jr. at his place in Ann Arbor, went to church with him, and went to a museum exhibit for the Shroud of Turin.
Nice.
That I was very excited about.
Nice.
And then we drove to Sandusky, Ohio.
Okay, I've been to Sandusky.
Have you?
Yeah. I want a large purple stuffed animal monkey there.
Oh, because they have a theme park.
Yes.
They have Cedar Point.
Mm-hmm. I was working at Toledo Opera.
Yeah,
this
that's not that
actually
far.
Actually, one of the places that James and I worked together first. Right when
James
we
is your real-life husband.
My real-life husband, yeah. He is real, and he is alive, and he is my husband. But we were working at Toledo Opera together, and we went on one
sense.
Of our days off.
Yeah. We drove through Toledo, and Toledo is pretty close to Ann Arbor, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like
half an hour. Yeah.
Ann Arbor, and about half an hour from Sandusky. So we stayed for free in Ann Arbor, then drove to Sandusky. Meanwhile, my daughter and her three oldest, the boys that you would know, the Rocket Brothers, Artie, Timmy, Charlie, they also drove to Sandusky coming the other way from Virginia.
Nice.
And my daughter had found this cheap two-star hotel, and that's a comp. That's, I'm being generous.
It was a one and a half? Half a star?
It was a one or, yeah, half a star. It was bad. And I'll tell you about that more. But we got to go to the eclipse. We found this park. Or at this point, you let Frank Jr., Dr. Frank Jr., PhD, and Jerry take over.
Sure.
Because they were in Boy Scouts together. She was the den mother and the troop parent, all the things.
And he has a PhD, so I think you just let him take over on anything, right?
Yeah. He's just, they're smart. They're smart people.
And so they're in charge.
I'm just like, yep, whatever you say. So they have analyzed and figured out, you know, I suggested a couple of parks, like, oh, that's nice. Because I had talked to the lady who ran the motel at the front desk, and she's like, well, we're just going to sit up by the pool. I'm like, oh, that's gross. I mean, I can put a picture up of the pool, but it's kind of, you know, weird. Yeah. And then she said, we got another property down the road, which is probably just as skanky, where they were going to sit. And I said, so meanwhile, my wife and son found a nice little park.
Nice.
And said, this seems okay. You know, we don't know. It'll probably be packed because it's an eclipse. We're in the path of totality. We drove all that way to get 100% totality because once you've seen 100% totality, you realize 99.5 ain't going to cut it.
Right.
You've got, it's all, you're all or nothing. Which is what happened in 2017. We saw the perfect eclipse. We're hoping to do it again. Meanwhile, our relatives in Texas, they get cloudy skies.
Yeah.
Here in Knoxville, you got, well, it was a partial anyway, but cloudy skies.
It was terrible.
A lot of places had cloudy skies. My sister and her family were planning to drive to Syracuse, New York to see the eclipse because they thought mileage-wise it would work and the timing-wise, the length of duration, duration of totality. But they look at the forecast that morning and she texts me, you know, sometime midday saying, change of plans, we're coming to Ohio.
Oh, nice.
They made a detour and went the other way instead. And they were racing to try to get to where we were in time for totality, or at least they claimed to have. But they ended up just pulling off to the side of I-80 and watching it from the interstate. She was nice enough to continue driving to Sandusky. We had a nice visit with them, and then they turned around and went back home.
Nice.
Except for the one niece who stayed late, stayed after. And I said, I'll pay for dinner for you and your friend before you drive home.
Oh, sweet.
Join us at the restaurant. They ordered the most expensive thing on the restaurant.
Well, yeah, you said you were going to pay for it.
I know.
It. Yeah.
They got fancy cocktails, fancy cocktails, salmon steak. I'm like, okay. Everyone else is getting, you know, burgers.
And, you're like, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Then they tried to get a room. They're texting with or calling their parents going, no, we're not coming back. We're staying with Uncle Frank. I'm like, I'm not paying for your hotel. I am not paying for your hotel. But they went to the same stinky hotel where we were.
And then they changed their mind and drove home?
Well, it was terrible. So they go in, and I wish I had done what they had done. Because the towels, I realized the next morning, after they've gotten up early and left, the towels, I go to take a shower, and there is a huge... like greasy, like like if you were a mechanic. If you were a mechanic and you had hands that were covered in engine
oil
lubricant and oil and grease and you know, and then you put them, you made a, on the towel, and you just wiped, you wiped it off on the towel, and then they ran the towel through the wash, but the handprint is still there. So I said I needed new towels. We went and got new towels. I couldn't deal with those towels. But the other ones were just dingy, but they weren't obviously stained.
Right.
Meanwhile, my niece, Allie, she realizes this, you know, when they get in the night before. They get upgraded to a nicer room.
Oh.
And a cleaner room in the newer building. And, okay. You know, our family is just, I didn't do any of that. We just thought it was a place to flop. And also, I explained to the lady, you know, when I went to, she asked me as we were checking out, what did you think? I said, well, the towels are gross. And furthermore... I made the mistake of wearing bare feet, or maybe it was smart, but I wore bare feet in the hotel room and on the way to the shower.
Your feet were all black?
Well, I could see it washing off. It was you looked down and you could see the
dirt. I
don't
think I would have stayed there.
Washing off my feet just from walking around the hotel room, because I didn't go barefoot anywhere else.
Mm-mm.
So that was my eclipse experience for the most part. While we were there, though, everyone's excited, but Charlie, the 5.5-year-old, he looks like he's getting bored, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, you're 5, so.
Well, but he's also there. He's really super smart. And right at the moment of totality, he runs away. And we're upset, but we can't. What are we going to do? We know he's safe in the park. There's hardly anybody in this park. This park that they found, it looks like it's brand new. It's got brand new bathrooms. It's got a brand new pavilion. It's got nice grassy areas. It's got a perfect view of the sun. It's got a walking trail. It's got a playground.
Nice.
It's got a nice big parking lot. There were maybe 6 cars in the parking lot, maybe 20 people in this park.
Wow.
It
wow.
was an ideal experience. So Charlie runs off at the moment of totality. And it turns out that there was a kid over in the playground playing with a Nintendo Switch. So you think, oh no, Charlie's going to miss the eclipse because...
He's playing Nintendo Switch. Yeah.
Turns out he went over there to make the kid stop playing Nintendo Switch so the other kid wouldn't miss the eclipse.
Oh,
so
that's really sweet.
I didn't see that coming.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so
He's
that
like,
was...
what are you doing? You're
Charlie,
missing it.
Charlie! Well, going both ways up to Michigan and then back from Ohio, we stopped at our favorite convenience store, as you can imagine. You know what it is.
Bucky's.
Yeah, but it's in Kentucky, so I think this one would be Kenbucky's.
No, they're all Bucky's.
Well, guess what I bought at Bucky's for myself. I would share it with you if you want it, of course, because I, you know, my friend and my boss. But if you want, I just want, can you guess what I might have purchased for myself at Bucky's?
Something to eat.
Okay, so they have, as you know, they've got the roasted nuts. Jerry bought, I thought we do have some over there. We got the, do have the pecans, cashews, and almonds.
Mm, something sweet.
It is sweet. It is edible.
Is it some sort of fig jam?
Some sort of, some sort of fig jam. It's Bucky's. What do you mean, some?
Ta-da! I really guessed all that.
I guess it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I know you well enough to know.
When Catherine has sent me a couple of little gifts over the years, and it's always fig jam.
Well, I've seen this actually at Bucky's, right, and I have thought of you every time. So
this is the first time I saw it there.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't really looking before. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad. Okay. That's a big jar.
It is. It's 16 ounces.
It's delightful.
17.5. Even better. All right. So we still have to talk about how I work for you now. And maybe we'll do that after the commercial for BoneZones.com.
Don't forget the S.
Because speaking of Charlie, he I talked to him the other day, and he was at church with his dad, mm-hmm. and I was on the FaceTime with Megan and the others. And Charlie comes back and wants to tell his mom about the ashes at church, not the kind that you put on your forehead, but like dead people ashes that are in a columbarium.
Yes. Okay.
And my daughter's like, oh, here, talk to Grandpa. he knows
he'll,
about
he'll
this.
He'll talk about this with you all day long.
And really what he was wanted to tell us about is he had counted, he's telling us about the columbarium, the rows and columns. He says, yeah, Grandpa, do you know what 3 times 17 is? It's 51. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so.
Thank you.
Because 3 times 10 would be 30, and 3 times 7 would be 21, and 30 plus 21 is 51. Yeah, that's right, Charlie. So Dr. Bass writes all these great books. You can get them autographed and sold to you.
And these are actually autographed.
Yeah, everything on here is legit autographed. Mm-hmm. Like this
nice
paperweight that says Dr. Bill Bass across the top. And he really does sign these. These are not like imprinted with a signature.
No, you can tell. I mean, now, can tell these are really signed.
If you want, the T-shirt is imprinted. You know,
sure.
Because that's just part of the design. We used his signature as
in
part of the design on the T-shirt. But yeah, the other stuff you can get signed by him. Maybe you want the Dr. Bill Bass groupie hat something. So
yeah, there's lots of great merch.
BoneZones.com. The talk I gave down in Teleco to the Kahiti Women's Club went well.
Good.
You can hire me to do same or different. I got the cremation talk. I'll now can get Charlie maybe to help me with the cremation lecture.
Don't ask for the cremation lecture.
You are grossed out by it.
Yeah, don't ask for that.
But you haven't,
I mean, if you want to be cremated, then you can ask for the cremation talk.
But you, I think, would also be grossed out by the above ground decomposition.
Yeah, probably.
Because you'll say if your only option is to not die.
Great. I like that option.
Okay.
Sign me up.
That was
perfection.
That's BoneZones.com. Don't forget
the
S. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wore this shirt to see if I could fit into it.
Okay. And you do, which is nice.
I wore this shirt especially for you.
Because it's orange?
This particular shirt. It's peachy.
Peachy, yeah.
Oh, my peaches are coming in. Next door neighbor Nancy says, I'm going to have to cull my peaches. I'm going to have to thin them out because I've got too many peaches. Too many that once they get big, the tree will just fall over. There's so many peaches. I'm worried about this because I'm greedy and I want all of the peaches.
Sure,
not part of the peaches.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is my peach colored shirt.
It's nice.
Which I think you've seen before.
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
No. Oh, yes, I do.
Or do you want to tell how you remember it?
I do. It's in a photo. I remember now. I finally, it dawned on me. Well, I mean,
it's fig jam.
You have a lot of colorful shirts.
But I haven't worn this one. I mean, because I haven't been able to fit into it for a few years, but I'm just kind of like really sucking in right now.
So this is a shirt that you wore when you interviewed us at Marble City Opera's production of Sor Angelica.
That's right. It's an Izod off the rack peach-colored shirt that I've got at some local department store. Probably Kohl's, but I don't know for sure.
But the only reason I remember that is because it's photographed with former managing director Brandon Gibson.
The late, great, beloved Brandon Gibson. So he's there. He invites me to come to Soir Angelica. He's the managing director. Catherine is the star playing Soir Angelica. And the rest of the cast is all these beautiful opera singers disguised as nuns. And I'm like, I'm in.
We also did like a really cool, like immersive, like 30-minute pre-show where before anyone sang a note and the audience is walking into the courtyard, all of the nuns had different stage directions. And we like directed the whole thing. So everything that you saw beforehand, I came in and planted my little plants and Ryan Colbert came in, sat down and
it was like we're at the convent with you the cloister.
It was a lot of fun.
It was very cool. And it was done in the courtyard of a church, St. John's Cathedral. So I'm full dress rehearsal, got the orchestra, got everyone in costume. It's a hot summer day because the show was in June, right?
Yeah, it was on the Memorial weekend, I think.
Okay. So it's a hot day and we're there. And I put on this summery looking shirt because I want to look good on camera. We're going to be doing a Facebook Live and I'm also going to be recording it for maybe for YouTube or something like that. I get there and there's my buddy, Brandon Gibson, managing director of Marble City Opera. And he is wearing this exact same off the rack peach colored Izod shirt. And I'm like, dude. I didn't know whether to be happy. Ultimately, I was happy about it. But I thought, what are the odds?
It is pretty crazy.
That we would both have the exact same peach-colored shirt off the rack from some department store. So we made a play about that. We did, we talked that up on the video, and we're doing hugging and pointing at each other's shirts and doing selfies and doing
getting all silly.
The nonsense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cut to a couple of years later, and our dear friend Brandon, probably your best friend, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked him pretty well, but I mean, he'd be your best friend.
He was my best friend, yeah.
he was a very powerful acquaintance. I mean, we enjoyed hanging out. But,
sure, yeah.
But he's the one who had introduced me to you and to Marble City a couple of years, even before that, when I first did the interview for La Traviata that you did at Westwood House.
That you actually remember. That's our first interview now.
I Googled it this morning.
Just
I swear. You think I'm kidding?
You always forget.
I know now. No, I wrote it into the book.
Okay, good.
I wrote it into the book.
Nice.
To the opera chapter. So I can't forget it now.
Good.
All right. Anyway, Brandon is the one who introduced me to Marble City Opera and to you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you're still here. So
because we've just decided that I am going to live forever.
Yeah, well, we keep crossing paths. Yeah. And it's always a fun exchange. And, you know, people think we're silly and it's fun. So, sadly, Brandon died in November of 2022. Suddenly, unexpectedly, in fact, I'm not going to ask you now, but I never even found out what happened to him, you know?
No,
it was a mystery at the time. Nothing obvious. You know, he was 36 years old and just sad. And alone in his apartment, which is even sadder to me. I'm getting a little sad about it.
Yeah.
Well, so obviously, time had to go by. You can't just hire a new managing director.
No, I needed some time.
Plus, and right before he died, I think 6 months before he died, you had started a new job, 5 months before he died, at Opera Louisiana. So now you're splitting your time, 6 months here, 6 months there, and, you know,
here, there, and yonder.
Back and forth. Yeah. 3 weeks here is really more like 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, and so on and so on. So I happened to catch you on a Knoxville jaunt this time around.
Back in February.
Well, I mean, a couple of times. Yeah, you were here in February, and now you're here in, what is it? April.
April, yeah.
So, all right. So what was your process? You started talking in the board. She puts me on the Marble City Opera board, or somebody put me on the board.
We got you on the board in 2020.
Yeah.
During the pandemic. And I think James actually reached out to you and was like, you should be on the board. And
James, your husband.
Yeah, James, my non-invisible real-life husband. And he thought Frank would be a great addition. Frank, you know, was trying to run away and not be on the board, but
I had just gotten fired from my job.
Sure.
And I honestly thought that they want me on the board because of what I do, not because of who I am. Because that's all the things I emcee. It's been a purge, if you will. The things like the New Year's Eve and the St. Patrick's Parade and the Asian Festival have all gone away because they want
that sponsorship.
They want the guy who works at the radio station, and once I'm gone, another guy who works at that radio station or for that radio company,
they'll come out and do it.
Will be the new MC.
Sure.
I'm old news gone. Not a few people, like Friends of Literacy, they have consistently asked me to continue to MC because they want me to do it the way I do it. Plus, I'm in the club.
Right.
You know, I'm in their Hall of Fame, so why not? And a few others. Go Contemporary Dance Works is the same.
Yeah.
So I thought, nobody really wants me on this board. I would tease you constantly about, please get me off this board.
Even though he was one of the best board members ever. So if you need a board member, Frank doesn't have any more time.
But. No, right. I took on another part-time job. There's no, because people were circling around me. They were sniffing around me at this last gala I did.
I bet they were.
Yeah. And there's some other one coming up that, Anyway. So you've mentioned in one of these board meetings that now after a year and a quarter, you had decided, plus your responsibilities are just getting so big. You've got Knoxville responsibilities, Baton Rouge responsibilities.
I was hoping to hire somebody in July of 2023.
Oh, last year.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
So I had started to kind of do some research, I hadn't really mentioned it to anybody, but I had a couple of people in mind who I thought could possibly be good.
I bet they would have been great. Why did you hire them?
They wouldn't have been as good as you. They just weren't perfect, right? So you're like interviewing people and you're talking to people and you think about people and there just hadn't been the right fit yet. And so I finally decided, probably back in December when we were doing Christmas Spider, it's time. Okay, like, yeah. I need to really,
Because there's a lot of work to do. I mean, you are the executive artistic director, so you oversee everything. But you've got to steer the ship. And you need, if you're the skipper, you need a Gilligan. You need a first
things
mate
just take time,
to help move through the, and do some of the, you've got this idea, you want to say, just make this happen.
I wish it was that simple, but...
Yeah, you get it. I mean, you've got ideas, and I'm a guy who used to, in my radio career, take other people's ideas, radio shows, big-time radio shows, and just make them happen. Somebody has a crazy idea that we're going to milk a cow in the parking lot, or whatever. I'm not going to give you the exact gross details. But, so it's up to me to get the parking lot, to get the cow, to get the farmer, to get the veterinarian, to get all the things that had to happen for that stunt.
Sure. I mean, with opera, it's even more complicated than that, because you have me, who will pick the shows and hire the singers and the orchestra, but you have Frank, who's going to help, get the space and the venue and the sponsorships and all of these other things. And you have Kayla, who's really doing a lot of the production management stuff, who is making sure people send in their costume measurements and collecting all of the props and the costumes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a team effort.
Right, you can't just show up and hand out nun costumes and get everyone to sing the same show.
Exactly.
It requires a lot of pre-planning.
Yeah.
And you've got these great shows coming up, the world premiere of Doctor and the Devils in Old City at the June 6th and 8th.
And 8th. Yeah.
And then Il Tabarro, which I'm excited about because it's an Italian.
Yeah, it's Puccini.
And apparently Puccini is my favorite, if I've determined. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
But as I'm talking about the ones that I can remember, they're all Puccini, right?
Puccini is the best.
Yes. And that's going to be on the longest day of the year, Frank.
Well, we have lots of Tabarro.
June 22nd, 23rd.
22nd, 23rd, but you can also hear it on a concert on the Star of Knoxville on the 13th. But anyway, so I actually decided to, I mentioned it to the staff. Okay, I am ready to hire somebody, which, relieved them because they've been helping out a lot too. And more.
They've been pulling the weight of Brandon's duties in addition to their own.
The three of us split them all up, so... we wrote a job description.
Surely you could have found someone younger and prettier than me.
I'm sure.
Like the other, everyone else on the staff, by the way, is younger and prettier than me.
And I mentioned it in a board meeting, and then we were recording, and you said, oh, wait, is that something I could do?
Yeah, but we hadn't even started yet. I'm about to hit the button. I said, I kind of was thinking about that, because frankly, I should get a day job. I've got the part-time job doing PBS, I've got the part-time job doing radio, and I've got this, which doesn't pay anything. And I thought, I thought about it. And I explained to you that I had done 80% of those things in my previous life before you knew me.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
But it was like the week of the biggest fundraising event of the year.
Timing was not great, but I guess it was great because you were here. You were open to the idea.
Yeah.
And
I started mentioning it to the staff and some board members, and they all got smiles on their faces. And I think I was the one who needed the most convincing.
Because you know me the best.
Well, I think also, I don't think I've told you this, but there was one day, it was after we had spoken, after the fundraising event, and you're like checking all of these boxes, right? All of these, not just the ones that were on paper, but the other ones that were in my mind of having somebody who would be loyal and who I'm friends with and who can be silly, other, just characteristics of somebody.
Somebody you can actually work with.
Absolutely.
And in corporate world, I mean, believe me, I've been through all the training where you do these charts and boxes and you got this quadrant and this quadrant. You've got to have the culture and you've got to have the efficiency.
So
I fit the culture is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Of Marble City, which is that, we got to be friendly toward another, not kind toward another, and be able to be silly with one another and tolerant. If you're going to be goofy one day, I'm not going to be, totally fine. I've known that about you since day one.
Exactly. But then I was still hesitant. There was still something that I was like, I don't know. And
was it day drinking? Because you can check
that
out. Wasn't.
I know. But I said, I think what it is, I was telling James, my invisible, not so invisible, real actual husband, that... I think it was because I was afraid of potentially losing another best friend.
Oh, because I would die on you.
Yeah. So you're not allowed to die either.
Well, because I joke about me dying all
the time. Exactly.
And I bought life insurance, and that company predicts I will live past 80. They predict, according to they sold me a 20-year policy. They think I'll live to at least 80.
Oh, okay, great.
And if I die sooner than that, they got to pay up.
Perfect.
So that, yeah.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better, actually. And then James said...
I did rub that in, though. I have to admit that my dark sense of humor, which you know, bonesons.com, don't forget the S. I was right in there saying, what are you going to do when I drop dead on you, Catherine?
Exactly.
I think Brandon would have laughed at that.
Of course he would have, yes. But so my... not so invisible, actual real husband, James actually said to me, that's his new official name, that he said he was separating himself from his high school friends, when he was a senior in high school, and he had kind of stopped hanging out with them.
Yeah.
And one of his teachers noticed, and they were asking about it, and he was like, well, I'm going to go off to college, and I'm not going to see them, and so I don't want to... too close to them right now because I'm
going to miss them.
Going to miss them. And the teacher said, well, how's that working out for you?
Not so good.
And he was saying, it's really, you don't have time. You never know how long you're going to have, right?
And so you have to take it when
it comes. And so that was really when I got over that, I was like, okay.
That's deep. I love it.
Okay. So, you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. Yeah. So I should continue joking about dying or stop joking about dying?
You can continue to joke about dying.
All right.
I do it to my wife all the time.
Yeah. Drives her crazy.
Yeah.
But what she does is she throws it right back in my face because she is now telling me that she wants to die before me so that I have to do all the paperwork.
Absolutely.
And I said, no, I do not want to do the paperwork.
I get to die next. I either get to live forever or I die next. Period.
I do not want to do the paperwork.
I'm not doing that again.
I'm not interested in the paperwork. Yeah. Please don't let me do the paperwork.
No.
So anyway, the news is that I am now managing director of Marble City Opera.
Yeah.
A licensed 501c3.
And you have to wear this color.
Well,
which is nice.
Actually, I can't really wear it to the board meeting because I don't know if I can hold in my stomach that long without a table.
And there's not tables.
Without a table to hide me. I'll wear it. But I thought I could get away with wearing it on the show. Plus,
nice.
We could tell the story
nice.
Of how this shirt will always remind me of Brandon and that photo. Of
the
us,
connection. Yeah.
Where he's got his arm, hand on his shoulder, and it looks like in the photo, it's actually a freeze frame from a video. You can watch the video and see what we're really saying, which is just nonsense. But it looks like he's giving me his seal of approval.
Yeah, it does.
I'll put it on the screen.
I was talking to Harold Duckett, and I was looking at a space that he was showing us for a potential venue, and he was asking me why Frank Murphy, and I started telling him.
Why?
And then I got done, and he was like, well, it seems like an obvious choice to me. And I was like, I know, right?
I didn't know that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, good. So I hope I do well. I mean, we've been working already. I mean, I actually even started working before I was working, because as a board member, you're supposed to pitch in and help and do things. But rather than just give me the usual, you know, board member duties of, well, go MC the gala.
I put it to work.
I did.
Yeah.
It was a, hey, use your contacts in Oak Ridge so we can have Il Tesoro alongside Milton Hill Lake on June 23rd. I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll make that happen.
Because it is your fault that we're going to sell out the Teleco.
Apparently that had something to do with my being hired also, I wouldn't stop talking about Catherine and her operas to anybody I met. So when I was at the Bone Zones event talking about human decomposition, I said, hey, Teleco ladies, there's going to be an opera where there's murder in Teleco coming up on the longest day of the year, Frank, Saturday, June 22nd. So you should go. And they said, okay. And I thought, you know, there were maybe, you know, eight people might come. They bought more. Is it half the seats they bought?
They've
so
already
far?
Bought half the seats. And they think and they're probably going to buy a few more. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a good time and a
it
good
is.
Show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're right to do it. And it's, and also, we're coming down to their neighborhood. They pointed out that so rarely does anything of cultural significance come to Monroe County. Excepting, of course, what happens at the Sequoia Birthplace and Museum. I'm talking about, like, nobody comes down and does an opera in Monroe County, in Von Ohr. But we are doing it.
Yeah.
So they're just thrilled. So I think we could probably, you know, go frequently. Go back, drop by and visit every few months or every year
every
or whatever.
Year, yeah,
you know, do something.
Sure. Yeah.
And just have a nice time with the ladies there at the Kahiti or one of the other joints. They've got, you know, there's Teleco Village, there's Rarity Bay, there's the Yacht Club,
there's
all these
lot.
Different places.
Yeah. So one question I have now that the Frank and Friends show also incorporates the executive artistic director and the managing director from Marvel City Opera. Is this basically a behind-the-scenes episode?
Oh, I thought you were going to start paying me for ads like Bone Zones does. Yes, this
hilarious.
This could count. This could count. Anytime you need to, because Marvel City was known. In fact, that's one of the. If you go back in the course of our friendship relationship, one of the things that really cemented it was I had a previous podcast partner, and I wish I'd known what happened to her. But she's quit.
Post.
She quit, and she quit right before
Tosca.
We were supposed to do a behind the scenes episode. It's going to be a co-production, Marvel City Opera, and
Frank.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the other show.
That show.
It's still online. You can look it up.
But don't.
But, I'm not going to.
I'm just teasing.
That's, it hurt, but I'm not, I have to let it go. So I get down there that day. I'm like, Catherine, it's going to just be me. I'm going to do the episode alone. But you stepped in, and we had fun, and we did some. The opening and the closing, and then you sent me off to do some behind-the-scenes shooting with Jacob Lassiter, who played the Puccini villain Scarpia.
He's coming back.
Coming back to play the Puccini villain Michelle, right? Michelle?
But he's kind of the victim.
He is.
He's kind of like the victim villain.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victim villain.
All right, but he still kills people.
Yeah.
And then the stage director was Maria Barry, and she's stage directing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a full circle thing. Yeah. I had a great time making this video, and you said to me either after that or one of the nights, I came to basically every Tosca rehearsal. My wife was in the chorus. Mm-hmm. We were going to do another video, like on the official Marvel City Opera video. I talked myself into it to say we'll give a plot synopsis before, rather than have them read the libretto, we'll just tell them, off, you know, kind of ad lib it and do it, you know, extemporaneously, conversationally, what the show's about. And I kind of, you know, twisted your arm a little bit to get me to do that.
Yeah, we did it like the Met style.
Loved it. It was so
fun.
Much fun. I would do it again anytime.
Yeah. I really like the interview we did with Brian Holman, the conductor, in the courtyard in between acts 2 and 3, you know.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm going to watch it again. I barely remember that part.
You were talking about how I sing Vici d'Arte, and Brian Holman's like, oh, yes, Catherine, she eats this for lunch, you know. She warms up with Vici d'Arte. It is fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Dude, okay. Excellent. Well, it's one of those videos that is, you have to pay to watch it. So, of course, I didn't pay for it, so I can't watch it.
I'm sure you have a video somewhere.
I don't.
That's not... Okay, well, we'll fix
I'd
that.
Like it. I'd
You're
like
on
it.
Staff now, so I'm
sorry,
sure
I have access
have,
to it. Well, so anyway, but that during the course of that, I came to these rehearsals because I was also memorizing... the plot again, and memorizing not just the plot, but where people stood. Because you remember in my intros, I'm saying, well, Scarpia's going to stand over here, and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Well, one of those nights after the end of rehearsal, I'm getting ready to leave, and you just say to me, like, you're leaning on the door jamb. Remember this?
In the Great Hall, right?
Yeah, you're leaning on the door jamb, and you're looking at me, and go, As I'm leaving, she says to me, you know, my husband.
The invisible, not so invisible, actually real husband, yes.
James. Says you and I should do a show together. And I'm like, does she know that the other one just quit on me?
I think you had kind of alluded.
I was trying to be polite. Help, you know, yeah. I'm not going to speak ill of the missing. Yes, I thought.
Could have put the face on like a, you know, milk curtain or something.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been good. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that's it. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a love fest here today because I'm still in the honeymoon period of the new job, which I started on April 1st. But you wouldn't know that thanks to Catherine Frady.
I didn't want it to be an April Fool's joke.
It would have been hilarious.
They all would have thought we were joking. No one would have thought we were serious.
Well, how come they thought we were serious on April 2nd?
Because it was an April Fool's. But it's like Frank and Catherine, if we had announced something on April 1st, no one would have believed us.
Okay.
They would have been like, they're just joking.
I mean, we're
jokesters.
We are jokesters, but I thought... Yeah. It would be interesting to find out.
Let them no.
Let them think it's a joke, and then realize
you just wanted multiple days of media.
I would yes. Yeah, I okay, also just yeah. like the long game. I like you know, I like them realizing they've been not realizing they've been had for another.
Maybe
week
I
or
should
so.
Keep that little piece of the marketing.
Well, because it was it involved me, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny. All right, now I'm looking at the clock. I think we have to go
to a meeting.
Actually. I mean, we got a little bit of time, but we probably should have to run upstairs and change into a shirt that's a little. I mean, this one looks nice. Looks like I haven't worn it since it's been cleaned.
But, crisp.
But I'm not going to wear it to the next meeting that we have because who knows? They might be throwing things. But I'll mention. We done, right? You got anything else?
I think we're good.
Because, I mean, I got Dr. Pepper Peeps that I was saving for you. Bean mailed those to me.
Aww.
I got, because you're from Texas, I got all these other topics we can talk about. But cool. I think I ran through enough stuff at hyperspeed in the first half.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get it all in before we got to
and
the...
And maybe we can make another one.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a deal.
We can talk about the Peeps.
And Dr. Pepper and how you love
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. If you like audio entertainment as much as Catherine likes Dr. Pepper, please go to audibletrial.com/frankandfriendsshow where you can get a free 30-day premium membership for no charge that first month. Then you can, at the end of that 30 days, let it automatically renew, get an MP3 credit every month. You download those MP3s. You can let them bank up or you can do them one at a time, whatever you prefer, and keep those on your device and listen to those audiobooks anywhere. There's custom audio entertainment. There's podcasts. There's probably a show about day drinking. I don't know for sure, but I mean, why wouldn't there be?
Exactly.
And if there isn't one, this one is on Audible.
Exactly. Ooh. Which is great out of this pint glass.
And it's good for you when you're driving long distances back and forth between here and Baton Rouge.
Yes.
Although now that I work for you, I find most of that's going to be phone calls.
Yeah, we're just going to talk the whole time. That'll be very entertaining.
It's only an 8-hour drive.
That'll be half your week's work.
My wife said to me the other day, did she say 15 hours a week or 15 hours a day?
Yeah.
Anyway, audibletrial.com/frankandfriendsshow. The merch is great. Obviously, I'm feeling the day drinking in the pint glass, so I better drink more of my water from my coffee mug.
I haven't had any of my water yet, so that'll be next, maybe.
The beach towel, by the next time you come to visit, the pool will be open.
I know, and we've already started planning Marble City Opera pool parties.
Are you real serious? No one ever comes.
Didn't you hear Kayla?
They're full of it.
No.
I mean, I've invited...
It's happening.
I stopped inviting people because I don't... You know, it's beautiful. I'll let someone actually wrap themselves in this.
Yeah.
I stopped inviting people because it's embarrassing. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll come.
No, I mean, like, I'm going to build it into the schedule.
If you want to, it's available. I'm fine with it. I'm happy. I clean the pool so, what do you call it, fastidiously, that I'm more than happy to have someone come over. It's fine. But no one ever... You know,
we're really going to.
Fine. I don't believe you.
I know you don't. I can tell.
Previous co-host said that too. Look what happened to her. I'm just saying. I don't believe you. It's fine. You can get, we can sit the Wi-Fi out there and you can sit by the
No, I mean like for like an actual party.
Oh, all right. I think you meant like if you wanted to stick your toes in the water while you answered emails.
I mean, I might do that too, but yeah.
All right. Anyway, this is I love it. This is a real nice one. And I might buy some more stuff, just summer weight stuff. But that's at frankandfriendsshow.com/store. Okay. MarbleCityOpera.com/tickets. Got that one in there?
Yeah.
I hope you really actually will come. I didn't even tell you about the rest of the people I met this weekend. After the organ concert, we started talking to people at that reception.
Yes, and we have
I think I sold a ticket or two at that reception.
Nice. I sold some tickets at Oscillate Circle. And, I mean, I think, you know, we got some more people at the Emporium when we did First Friday, so there's lots more to talk about.
And then I went to the gala the next night, and I convinced some people to buy tickets.
So. Yeah.
That's, I got to, you know, earn my keep. All right, boss, are we done? We're going to the next meeting?
I think we're good.
All right. This is the Frank and Friends Show. I'm Frank Murphy.
I'm Catherine Frady.
And we'll talk to you again next time. So I'm okay? I'm not fired? Everything's good?
Everything's good.
Okay.